Just how important is having the right motivation for witnessing? Hello, and welcome to Good Word, a program dedicated to exploring biblical themes. This week, our discussion focuses on, as you may have guessed, motivation and witnessing. My name is Paul Dibdahl, and joining me for discussion this week are Patty McCoy, chaplain at Walla Walla University, master's in youth ministry, and Dr. Alex Bryan, senior pastor at the Walla Walla University Church. Gentlemen, welcome to both of you. So I asked that question, the leading question, just how important is the right motivation for witnessing? The adult lesson guide, a printed lesson guide that we tend to be tracking with our discussion, suggests that there is a right motivation, and it also warns of the danger of, quote-unquote, working with the wrong motivations. So I guess that's a couple of questions there. How important is the right motivation? Is there such thing as a right motivation? Are there certain motivations that shouldn't be motivations for witnessing? Mm-hmm.
I think you hit on the word that I often hear from students anyway that I get to work with is this idea of should. I should be doing this. I ought to be doing that. I have to whatever it is. It's these descriptors of, again, motivation that's the shoulds, the oughts, the haves. And if I don't, I'm not a good person. I'm not a good mm-hmm. Christian and whatnot. And honestly, for me in that, I think of a quote I came across recently that was, the Christian life is simple. Fall in love with Jesus, stay in love with Jesus, and the rest will take care of itself, so to speak. Kind of along the lines of Matthew 6, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you.
Yeah.
And to me, I guess, if you're going to talk about right motivation, I come to the seek first, the fix your eyes on Jesus, the spend time at his feet kind of things. And if I'm doing that, then I'm compelled to do what comes next.
That's good, Patty. I think I wonder if the motivation matters more for how it's going to impact me as the one who's sharing than the person that I'm sharing with. In other words, if I am in the business of evangelism because I want to be successful and want to have a feeling of personal success, what happens when I get into hard times with that and mm-hmm. the success isn't there, which we see in the life of Jesus and other biblical characters where it's not always easy? Or what if I'm feeling guilty and I'm somehow needing to cover a multitude of sins and so I'm out there doing the work? Mm-hmm. Or I get a rush out of it and it's just I love the high mm-hmm. of making the sale and seeing if it will mm-hmm. take. And I think that the danger, of course, of those kinds of motivations is – they're not going to keep me in the game very long, or they're going to really mess me up, mm-hmm. maybe more so than the person that I'm reaching out to. But if I am in the business of sharing Jesus because I'm in love with God and because he's asked me to do it and I'm responding out of a God who loves me, then success or guilt or a rush or all these other things are not going to sort of plague me when I go through the mountains and valleys of the work of evangelism. So I guess I would say to my church members, your motivation is huge first and foremost because how it's going to impact you. Your level of health, your ability to stay in the game evangelistically is going to be greatly impacted on mm-hmm. what's prompting you to do it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's dead on in the sense that, I once heard a pastor start his sermon. He was telling about a recent trip that he was on and how it had just hit him on that trip that he could lose everything that he held dear to him. He could lose his job, his family, his possessions. But the one thing that the world couldn't take away from him was Jesus. And in that relationship then, what holds us through, right, what Alex said, the success or the struggle or what have you, is the one consistency is the walk and the relationship, whether you're able to see the fruits that are being produced or you're not. And as when I work with student leaders, I often tell them, especially if they're just in a leadership role for a year, that, you know, man, you could be a part of a ministry that isn't going to really produce fruit until years down the road, but you're starting something. And, you know, how often do you get to see all the fruits from mm-hmm. from your work? Mm-hmm. And so it's that relationship that just keeps you going.
Mm-hmm. But both of you have talked about the love motivation, a kind of natural response, the love that God has for us. Motivates us. We want to share that love with other people. And it sounds great. Sounds great. And I find myself agreeing. Let me, though, toss out a passage from the Apostle Paul. It's from Philippians, and the first chapter of Philippians. And there Paul notes here that some are preaching Christ out of envy and rivalry, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains. Okay, that doesn't sound like those other people had very good motivation, right? They're trying to stir up trouble. But then Paul continues, and he says, the important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached, and because of this, I rejoice. So here's some people with some terrible motives for preaching. Paul says, hey, either way, Christ is being preached. I'm happy about that. I rejoice about that. So how important are our motivations?
You know, I think it comes back to what Alex said initially, though, is what's the effect, though, on those that are participating in that, in preaching the gospel? Sure, Jesus was being preached, but those that were doing it out of rivalry and envy, you know, what was it doing to their lives? How was the gospel impacting them in that process?
Doesn't it have some impact as well on the people? Maybe the greatest impact is on us, but it seems like it would have some negative impact even on those that I'm trying to reach.
Sure. I think that if I'm selling something because I want something from you, and now I'm not just thinking about the gospel, but anything that I might sell, and my principal motivation is making a buck, the way I treat you in that interaction, the way I maybe even twist and turn the validity of the product and is not going to be good. But if ultimately I'm in business, regardless of the nature of that business, because I want to bless you and I want you to have a good product, a good service, or much more important now, I want you to experience the love of God, everything about that interaction should be better. So mm-hmm. we are mixed bags of motives.
Sure, always.
Nothing's pure.
Always, yeah.
But I think the more that we grow towards good motivation and leave bad motivation behind, the healthier those interactions are going to be.
Do you want to throw out some bad motivations for witnessing? I read the passage. I think there are some there, but where you'd say that's not a good motivation.
Well, and Alex alluded to this early on. I think, you know, the attention seekers,
okay,
you know, the getting an audience and a crowd to think that you're all that in a bag of chips, you know, that's a motivation that's tough. Although, again, nothing that we do is just pure in that sense. I mean, I think that I as a youngest child of three, you know, struggle with that from time to time. So, but I certainly think as a main motivator, is tough. I don't know that any of us could really say, you know, that are full-time ministers, that money is something that we necessarily, well, okay, I'll just leave that one there.
If money was the primary motivation, we would probably have chosen a different profession. Is that what you're driving
at? I think so. I think so.
Does Jesus, now this is speaking less of the motivation that would compel us or call us to witness, and more the motivations that we would try to, the ways in which we would try to motivate people to make a decision, a good decision for Christ. Mm. So shifting gears here a little bit. Mm-hmm. But did Jesus always use love as motivation? We've talked a lot about love as motivation. What do we do with passages like what, Luke 12, verses 4 and 5, Jesus says, I will show you who you should fear. Fear him who, after your body has been killed, has authority to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Is that love motivation? Is love the best motivation that we can come up with?
Well, I would argue, my friend Paul, that Jesus was acting in love in Luke 12. There are times where we, coming to a metaphor that we used a couple weeks ago with parents and children, there are times where we say some pretty hard things to our kids that they certainly don't think are loving, but I think we know that, that hopefully that's the intent. And then other things we say, things that might be quite soft and affectionate that are loving. So
it's good. Love, being motivated by love, doesn't mean that everything we say will be easy, will be sweet. Love may call us to say some rather pointed and even pointed and words that might even stir up some controversy or some negative reactions in people. Yeah.
And I think that's where the way overused phrase that preaching should comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable really makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
That you are, if you're following the way of Jesus, you are doing both. And that's part of being a healthy proclaimer of the gospel.
Yeah. It's a frequently used phrase because I think it communicates something that really is very true. Yeah.
Yeah, and in that parent kind of analogy, you have this, you know, Hebrews, which is quoting the Old Testament, Hebrews 12, saying, "My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him, for the Lord disciplines the one he loves." That in love, sometimes there are tough things that you've got to hear, and they're not always going to be the easiest thing to hear, but mm-hmm. it still can be done with the motivation of love.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I want to try one. It's not good to try to introduce maybe a new idea here right at the end of our time together. But sometimes, and maybe this is just a pet peeve of mine, but sometimes I get tired of hearing people use their lack of motivation or their lack of good motivation as an excuse for not doing something. So they'll say, "I don't know. I can't find the motivation to do that." I think there are things that we do because we love Jesus that we don't feel like doing. Mm. So he asks us to be his witnesses. I won't always feel like doing that, but because I love him, I should do those things anyway. Obey, whether I really feel motivated to obey or not. Thanks, Alex and Patty, for your willingness to share with us today. Thanks also to Chad Ofterhaar, our program engineer. And I'd also like to thank you for listening in. I hope you'll join us again next week. And I should also remind you that contact information, as well as free printed companion materials, are available online. Simply go to the Walla Walla University website, follow the links to the School of Theology and Good Word. For Good Word, I'm Paul Dibdahl.
You've been listening to Good Word, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla University and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194. Thanks for listening, and we'll be here next week at this time with Good Word.